Welcome, friends, to the House of God here at St. Paul's in Muskego. I am Pastor Nathan Strobel, privileged to be your message bringer today for worship online at St. Paul's. And I'll be greeting you again as the worship service starts, but a privilege to welcome you to this worship space, both physically but also online, and to remind us of the focus of our worship today. We're in the fifth Sunday of a worship series entitled In View of God's Mercy. And today we are focusing on submitting to each other in kindness. And we're going to surprise you a little bit by Paul's discussion in chapters 14 and 15 of Romans on disputable matters, things that we can disagree on within the body of Christ, and how to love each other through those disagreements. I'll leave the rest for the opening for you at the start of worship. I would like to highlight a couple things for us today. One is that I will be starting up a new Following the Promise class shortly after Labor Day. I would like for you to email me and let me know and say, hey, Pastor Nate, I have a friend who would love to be involved with the class. I would like to be involved. And let me know the best time for you. Typically, it's been Tuesday nights when we've been in person. Right now, I'm in the middle of a Monday night class, so we can't do Mondays. Wednesday just opened up because I finished Wednesday last night with about 28 people. That was exciting. To be with them for the last 12 weeks. But think about Following the Promise, being involved, inviting a friend, 12 weeks, all online through Zoom, recorded so you can miss classes, and it's all good. So Following the Promise, after Labor Day, email me, give me some hints on when I should schedule this. Also, just to remind us that through this ongoing COVID-19 time, praise be to God that through you, His people, God is continuing to fund this ministry through the offerings of God's people, given to Him first and to the church second, to help us do things like online worship, Following the Promise class, probably 60 people have been in it since May. So feel free to go to stpaulsmuskego.org/give and find out how you can give through your phone, through your iPad, through your computer, text to give, all of those things, directions for you online. And before we go to worship, I would like to take a moment to offer a prayer to our God. School started this week, Tuesday. God is blessing it. We're still in session. The kids are there. It's all working well. The teachers are pumped and positive. God is blessing our administrator, Seth Fitzsimmons, with a good start to his week as well. I know he's been a prayer warrior. Let's join with our faculty and staff and pray for a moment. Great God and Lord, we come before you today with thanksgiving and praise on behalf of your ministry to our kids. We thank you that the first week of school is going well. We ask that it would continue to go well. May there be no diagnoses of COVID-19. May we be able to stay open because we want to serve your children with the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of their subjects, all of their classes. So as is your will, may we do this to your glory, to our joy, and also to the just joy of our teaching staff that is just so pumped to teach your children about your son Jesus. We pray all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. And Lord, we pray in view of your mercy. In view of your mercy, we pray. In view of your mercy today, we worship. Friends, to God be the glory. Let's worship to his praise.
Good day, people of God, and welcome to this worship space and this worship platform of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Muskego, Wisconsin. I am Pastor Nathan Strobel, privileged to be your message bringer today, and my good friend Jeffrey Bonach, one of our other pastors here, is our presiding minister for the day. Welcome to the fifth week in our sermon series entitled In View of God's Mercy. We are looking at Romans 12 through 16, and today we take a healthy chunk of that, Romans 14 and 15, as we look into that theme in view of God's mercy. But as my brothers have been reminding us so well the last weeks, in view of God's mercy assumes that we are remembering Romans 1 through 11, where the Apostle Paul so richly reminded us and challenged us to remember and hang on to God's mercy and his grace, the free forgiveness of sins in his Son, Jesus, our Savior. Paul says at Romans 12, in view of God's mercy, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, and have your minds be made new in their thinking to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And today we chew on the will of God when it comes to disputable matters. In view of God's mercy, as we deal with disputable matters, things neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture, may you and I always submit to each other in kindness and love each other with the love of Christ. With those thoughts, let us worship our God with the opening hymn.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Apostle John exhorts all believers to love one another, for love comes from God. He says, "Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love."
Yet we can never love God or others as completely and unconditionally as he has loved us. Selfishness and prejudice infect us to the core and taint all our thoughts, words, and deeds. Because of our lovelessness and sin, we deserve God's wrath and eternal punishment. But God is gracious and forgives us through Jesus Christ. Let us therefore humble ourselves before him and confess our sin. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given us his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
To you, O blessed Trinity.
And let us pray. Good and gracious God, you have compassion for the sinner, every sinner, as a father has compassion for his children.
Forgive the sins of your people, heal our weaknesses, and crown our lives with your love.
Open our minds to understand what it means to love those who think and act differently than we do.
Empower us to shine the light of your love into this dark world.
We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We turn now to the Word of God, and our first lesson for today comes to us from 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Here we're reminded that God's love is for all people, and in that love we become one family. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. This is the word of our God. Alleluia, alleluia, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We continue now with the gospel of the day found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. In this lesson, as Jesus encounters a Canaanite woman, he shows his love for all. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This is the gospel of our Lord. Encouraged by the Word of God, we join together now, confess our common faith. We'll use the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God,
begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And I now invite you to join us as we sing together the words of hymn 467, May the Mind of Christ our Savior.
God's grace,
mercy, is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. There's a lot of tension in our world right now. How do we cope with people who act and think different than we do? How do we deal with people who mistreat us? How do we overcome? Let God's mercy to us be our motivation. Let God's grace be the foundation of our compassion. Look back to the cross and empty tomb. Remember the unfathomable grace and mercy we have received. How do we deal with tension? We find the answers when we remember to live in view of God's mercy.
Yes, God's grace, his mercy, his peace are ours through his love expressed through his Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as one of those helping us today put on and produce this worship for our family of God, as one of those helping said today, Pastor Nate, you have a long text, and yes, it is. So let's buckle ourselves in and get after it. There's a lot here for us to process. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through Romans 15, verse 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind, toward each other that Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the words of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, I love my extended family. Most of the last generation is now in heaven with Jesus, but I can still remember like yesterday, 40 years ago. All of us gathered at the farmhouse near Baraboo, a family very much in love with each other and with our Savior Jesus. You see, my extended family shared the same Christian faith. In fact, my extended family shared the same synod, and we all knew how to spell it, synod, S-Y-N-O-D, and we knew how to pronounce it, synod, and we knew what it translated into, to walk together. We were card-carrying members of the same church body, and we agreed on everything. Until there was that day when we didn't. There was that one summer. Yes, the relatives were all gathered around the dining room table in the farmhouse, and the discussion happened. This was the topic: boarding school through the synod versus public high school at home with mom and dad, which was best for the kids? Somehow, the devil got his fingers into the mix. And I believe the message heard was this: "Thus saith the Lord, boarding school through the synod is best for your kids." And lo and behold, we weren't on the same page. And the hullabaloo, yes, kids, that was the word back then, the hullabaloo that broke out shocked us cousins. Tempers flared. Words were exchanged, defensiveness, and families actually went home miffed. I believe some felt shamed, like they weren't trusting God enough on both sides of the issue. As a family, we got over it, sort of. What that meant is we just knew never, ever, ever again bring up that topic. What went wrong that day? I don't know for sure. I believe I was about 10, maybe 12. But the discussion was about a disputable matter that some were trying to make the 11th commandment of the Almighty God. Somewhere in the mix, the freedom we have in Christ was blurred, and the debt we owe to love each other somehow got lost. Disputable matters. The Apostle Paul addresses that topic with us today, with the goal of teaching us more about the heart of Christ in loving each other in areas where we are free to disagree. Dear friends, how many places can a doctor check your body for a pulse? You have your carotid artery. Yeah, got it. You have your radial artery. Yeah. There is one in the thumb, too, so don't use your thumb, but the radial artery. Then there's the inner thigh called the femoral artery. And then there's behind your knee called the, and I had to look this up, the popliteal artery. And then there's the ankle. My doctor actually checks this now with the visit every summer. The posterior tibial artery. And then there's the foot, the dorsalis pedis artery. In other words, wherever the body is living, technically you will find the pulse of the heart that is beating and feeding and filling the body. You and I are part of the body of Christ, his church, and he is the head and he is its heart. Are we healthy as the body of Christ? Is the heart of Christ beating well within the body of Christ no matter where we check? Are we always loving others as he loves us? Paul challenges the health of the body today in his discussion on disputable matters. A disputable matter among Christians is something about which Christians can have a difference of opinion. Now, let's be careful here. Disputable matters are not things set in stone by the commandments and by the will of God. Sex outside of marriage will always be sin. Drunkenness will always be sin. Gossip will always be sin. Now, here Paul is addressing disputable matters, things that the Bible neither commands nor forbids. He lays out two examples for us under discussion in the Roman congregation, made up of Jewish believers and Gentile believers, same Jesus, different ethnic backgrounds. Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles, those not Jewish in culture. And the two topics are the eating of all meat, including pork, something forbidden to Old Testament believers as an unclean food, and sacred days, the day of the week and the days of the year that we should set aside to worship our God. And for Old Testament Jews, it had been Saturday only. Now, in reality, these are disputable matters under the new covenant that God has made with us through his son, Jesus. God doesn't command us to eat meat, all meat, but he allows us to. Some of us may feel the need to be a vegetarian. It's a conscience thing. I just can't eat meat. Something had to die. Others of us choose to eat any and all meat. We are free in our conscience. But neither choice is better or holier. In Christ, we are free to worship God any day of the week. Sunday is not better than Saturday or than Wednesday, though my conscience may personally guide me as to my choice. Disputable matters. Remember what Paul says about these. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so for the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. My friends, a strong faith is an informed faith. It knows and trusts that all food is free to me, and that any day of the week is free for me to worship God. A weak faith doesn't know the freedom or trust the freedom or the trust with confidence exercising that freedom. Someone might say, isn't Sunday really, though, the day we're supposed to worship, the Sabbath we're supposed to keep? And I really struggle knowing a calf was killed for my veal parmesan. Regardless of our perspective, Paul says to all of us, accept each other. Don't sit in judgment. God accepts you and your choices in disputable matters, along with the other guy. Our God doesn't care what we eat, as long as we eat to feed our body in care of it. God doesn't care what day we worship, just as long as we feed our soul regularly in care of it. How many disputable matters are there among the people of God? Our ministry team came up with a pretty healthy list in our discussion of this text. I'll share a few. Does God care about worship languages? Now, that is a fun question for this congregation. But did you know that Maundy Thursday, 1949, was the last regular worship service conducted in German at St. Paul's in Muskego? I am sure that was a lively conversation in the months leading up to that service. Does God care about demographics in worship? Where men, women, and children sit when they're in God's house? Did you know that 1950 was the last year that women and children sat on the left of the aisle, house left, and men sat on the right? Those are some interesting years, the late 1940s here at St. Paul's. Common cup versus individual cup. Isn't it great to be free in Christ during this COVID-19 time? Women wearing hats in church, men wearing coats and ties. How about Christians buying life insurance? Are you aware that that was once a disputable matter? Godly people wouldn't. How about not eating meat on Fridays? You probably know that it matters not to God whether we eat red meat on Fridays or not. But for some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, going out for fish on Fridays is not just a tasty tradition. It was how they were raised to please God, and they still struggle. Can I really have a burger on a Friday noon for lunch? God's instructions to us on all of these disputable matters, accept each other and our choices. Don't be judgy, arrogant, or impatient with each other. God is the judge of all, and He accepts us. But let us be cautious here. You and I are both sinner and saint. We love our Jesus, but with divided loyalties, part of us still loves to sin. I can only speak for myself, but sin for me includes my opinion over yours. We can struggle to not act selfishly, even chiding each other over our weaknesses. How does that play out? Practically, how should we be thinking and doing? Well, let's check in again with Paul. Paul says, I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Paul knew that in the Lord Jesus, he could eat anything. But Paul also recognized that and was determined not to exercise his freedom in anything if so doing would bring spiritual distress into the heart of a brother or sister in Christ. And this is not distress coming from a simple difference of opinion, but rather when my actions are pressuring you to compromise and to turn against the voice of your conscience. Paul says, blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves. If I use my freedom at your expense and entice you to sin, then I condemn myself. But whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating does not come from faith. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. You and I are free in this life when the Word of God and our conscience declares us free. To go against our conscience, even if it is misguided apart from God's Word, or to pressure a brother or sister to go against their conscience, even if it is misguided, is a sin and is dangerous. For the conscience is God's voice inside of us that speaks to the law that He has written on our hearts. And to smack down the conscience is to sin and to rebel against God and to open the door to sin and to unbelief. How relevant is this discussion to you and to me? We can probably get practical here real fast, since the devil is trying new ways to divide Christ's church. Black Lives Matter is on the hearts and minds of many people. Black lives matter to God, so they matter to me and to you, just as all life does, for there is one race, one blood, one God and Father of us all. Some of us have felt conscience-bound to try to do something about the struggles. Some of us may have even given money in support of the cause of Black Lives Matter. Some of us have probably toyed with the idea of peaceful protesting. Shouldn't we do something to help? Others of us speak of an evil that has hijacked the Black Lives Matter movement and sidetracked it from a God-pleasing goal to one that seeks to destroy. And with that knowledge, they feel strongly about not getting anywhere near the movement. But is it possible for us, as the extended family of God who love each other, to have not just a civil conversation about this issue, but a Christ-centered one? Hopefully all of us, in faith and in good conscience, are pondering the issues and are in prayer with our voices to God in heaven. Hopefully we are not standing in judgment over the conscience of a brother or sister who feels compelled to make a difference somehow. A disputable matter, things like peaceful protests, allowed by the government, permitted by our God within the law, and bound by Christian love, may be free to you, may be free to me. What is your conscience saying? And finally, what about the wearing of a mask? We just can't get away from that, can we? Is it a disputable matter? Covered so well by Pastor Keel last week's sermon, go back, revisit. But aside from that question, how would the Apostle Paul address the issue of should I wear a mask or not? Well, to me, if you believe that God wants us to wear a mask to honor Governor Evers, then I will wear a mask in your presence rather than pressure you to remove it and sin against your conscience. If you believe that God would want us to wear a mask because you believe wearing a mask will help stop the spread of the virus, then I will wear a mask and not entice you to remove yours. What does Paul say? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, and I think he would say, or mask wearing, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Have conversation with him. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Dear friends, it is the word of our God that informs our faith, inspires our loving, and guides our living. So it is healthy for us every day of our lives, every day of our living, to check the pulse of God's love in the family of God and in our lives. How often do you take that pulse, his love for you, and his love through you. We are the body of Christ. We know his love through his forgiveness. It beats in our lives every day. We know his love through his ongoing patience and his grace. Does his love for me, for you, and for this church fill this church? And does it fill me as a member of the body of Christ? Remember what we learn from doctors checking our pulse, different spots on our body. If the body is alive, it expresses the beat of the heart. And so Paul says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to our God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in all good works. Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you. Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed help. In this time of pandemic, we ask that you help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity. And Lord of the nations, look in mercy on our nation as we struggle with discord and civil unrest. Frustrate the plans of those who would stir up violence and strife, and bless the efforts of those who seek to accomplish their goals in a spirit of harmony and peace. Move the hearts of all people that the barriers which unjustly divide us may crumble, suspicions may disappear, and hatred may cease. Heal our divisions. Give to our leaders and all in authority a special measure of wisdom and patience as they carry out their tasks, and grant that justice may prevail throughout our land. Help us as Christian citizens to reflect your love in all we do. Accept our prayers and intercessions and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with hymn 492, Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Son of God, Eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh whose birth among us honors all our human race. You are head whose robe
The Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.